Welcome to Women in WP,
a bi-monthly podcast about women who blog, design, develop, and more in the WordPress community.
Hi, welcome to Women in WP. I'm Angela Bowman.
And I'm Amy Masson.
And I'm Tracy Epps.
Our guest today is Isabel Duran, joining us from New Jersey. She is currently an intern at Gravity Forms. Welcome, Isabel.
Hello, it's great to be here. Thank you guys for having me.
We like to start off each episode asking our guests how they got into WordPress. How did you get started?
So I got started really through family and kind of the introduction of what my parents were into. Starting back in about 2012 and 2013, my dad was going to WordPress meetups and the WordCamp events. Specifically, I know as a family, the first one we went to was a WordCamp Minneapolis, and I believe it was 2013 that it had taken place. So it was really cool just to be exposed to this whole community and the learning styles, but also just the opportunities that could come financially and from a job perspective. But at that point, I was in middle school. So it was kind of just like a future basis of what I'd be looking at. So kind of just like stayed aware of it and knew of what was happening because of my dad. My dad actually had put on a conference in 2016 called the Prestige Conference. It was in Minneapolis as well. And so it was, that was like a really cool just experience to see how that whole process was put together. And it was pretty similar to WordCamp and the style of the talks and who was exposed to it and just kind of outreach in the community. But from there, I really hadn't done much else other than staying aware until it came up to my Gravity Forms internship. And with that, I saw this internship opportunity, and I wanted to just find ways to be able to master it and really be prepared before I started. So the few months before I started my internship, I really focused on taking some online courses focused on WordPress and WordPress development. And that's really kind of just been it. And then since I've been on the team at Gravity Forms, I've been working kind of on the back end of understanding how you can create a plugin for WordPress and that whole ecosystem there.
That's amazing. I remember the Prestige Conference. I didn't get a chance to go because I think I already had my travel plans back home. And I think because it was like after the WordCamp or something like that. Tell everyone that hasn't heard about it, what was different about that between that and a WordCamp?
I had a lot of FOMO. I remember seeing all the tweets about it.
So, yes, I think the main difference was just kind of the level of speakers and the outreach of different companies that were speaking at this conference compared to where WordCamp is open to anybody and you can kind of go in and have, you know, you can have a presentation on a topic that you know about, but maybe it's not like a whole company-based initiative. Prestige was more based on, I feel like, affluent companies in the WordPress community at that time and then getting their perspective into the conversations and kind of more of that outlook in addition to just WordPress topics.
Nice. And as a middle schooler, what a great
It was definitely impactful, and it helped kind of guide me into the path that I am now and just understanding that, yes, school is important and education is important. I'm a senior at NJIT right now, finishing my math degree. So we're still doing it. But I also was able to learn how much you can do online and how much you can self-teach to just kind of fund your own career outside of a corporate job or those sort of things.
Well, I mean, one of the things I've been teaching online, and actually, your school is one of the places I had a scheduling conflict, but there's boot camps and I've taught WordPress, and like with everything, with being accessible online, at least for the most part, or more and more accessible, you're right, like that, you know, people can kind of choose their own path, and you've done that from an early age, which is really impressive.
No, absolutely. And I mean, it really helps that I was exposed to this learning style. And it's an ode to how much information is online and how much can actually be free. And I mean, thankfully, I was able to connect through my college, and I was using LinkedIn Learning for the courses on WordPress and learning all of the plugin development and PHP styles and all of these different things. So it was great to have these free resources. But yeah, if you're looking for it, you can really find anything out there to teach yourself what you want to know. If you know how to ask the question in Google, basically.
Exactly. You know what to put in the Google search. Exactly it.
And that in itself is a skill.
Yep.
You know, people think, oh, anybody can use Google, but it actually knowing the right things to ask, I consider that to be a skill, an employable skill.
Yes.
And that was something actually that then we took. So just highlighting a little bit of what I've done on Gravity Forms, I started in the product team over the summer because I had a lot more free time and I was able to just work solidly on the team. And it was a great experience working as a QA analyst or QA intern analyst because we're really just going through all of the new features and all of the new products that Gravity Forms is going to put out and trying to break them before they go to public and making sure that they're displayed correctly and really understanding how they were put together. And from that, I then moved over to the marketing team to say, and since then, we had this idea of kind of putting a blog post together of how did I get here and how did I do this? So I was able to, it was actually titled, let me find it here, How to Prepare Yourself for a Gravity Forms Internship. And it walks through all of these free courses that you can go through and kind of the learning that I went through. So it makes it more accessible for anybody. And yes, it's Gravity Forms, but it really is the light of a tech internship. Anybody can really read through this article and see all of the different steps that I took to do this and kind of take away that wall of the unknown of what do you ask and where do you search? Where do you start?
I love that.
Now, I'm wondering how, if it does at all, does this internship tie in with your mathematics degree?
So, not necessarily, not the way that you'd expect. My mathematics degree is a focus in actuarial and financial sciences, so more finance and stat modeling based. But something that does transfer over and kind of as mentioned before is that problem solving and logic base that you have to learn through these mathematics topics. And that can be employed over to any coding situation and really any marketing situation of just you have this item and you want to sell it, or you have this problem and you want to fix it. What are the routes that we can take? So just kind of those ideas, I think, has helped me to be able to get through these internships as I have.
It sounds so fancy, financial. I was like, I have an art degree. So it's impressive to me.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah, no, it's treacherous out here, but it's worth it. And it just shows you that even though math can be, you know, between rockets and like medicine topics, it is also just the way that you think and you process something. So math is employed in any situation in life, honestly.
So I have learned more on TikTok than I have probably in my two calculus classes. There is this one drag queen called Carrie the One. And she does Math is a Drag. It is fabulous.
I will need to check that out.
Check it out. Search for, and it took me months to get Carrie the One. Carrie the One. I was like, oh, I get it. But it was one of those things. My mom was a math major. She was a math teacher. So I had to do well in math, but I struggled. So
yeah.
Seeing all of the different ways of learning, and you're right, that whole problem solving is crucial in any situation.
What I love to see is when we recognize that skills that you're learning are transferable, even if they don't exactly seem related. My husband says that all the time is that probably the most important skill or class he ever took for his law degree was computer programming, because the logical steps that you learn in that makes, you know, writing briefs and all these other things makes so much more sense. And, you know, I think you can do that. My son is taking computer science and music composition. And while they're two different schools in college, to me, it makes perfect sense that those things can go together. The, you know, the science behind the composition, it fits in my brain, but not everybody sees that.
Oh, no, but it definitely fits. And I feel like it helps create so he can have a well-rounded outlook on what he's doing and anything that he's going to be doing with that music tailored degree, he will be able to employ more with those computer-based ideas. You know, you need to be able to back up your passion and make sure it's fundable for your life. And those are great tools to be able to do that. And even just branching back to what you were saying before, Tracy, about just like learning math and kind of struggling, I did too. Like when I first started, when I was in middle school, I was struggling hard with mathematics, and I actually had to retake an algebra class. But at this point, my parents had found Khan Academy, and again, a free resource.
Yeah.
And I was able, instead of chores, I was paid to do Khan Academy, which was a great outlook for my parents, a great opportunity for my parents. So I definitely appreciate that. But with that, I was able to then master the fundamentals that I had missed from school and just be able to piece on top of that further. And now I'm a math major. So really using what's out there and just knowing what's out there is half the battle.
That's amazing. And you said something about like using the kind of the computer science and all of those like problem solving, all those things fit into any industry, any career. I also see, and you know, with the whole like technical, but as a musician, because technology industry likes to make technology sometimes just for technology's sake because they can. And many times the problem doesn't call for a new Facebook, but it's called for a technical solution, but not like in a traditional sense, you know? So really, really cool ways of like crossover, and I see it happening more and more in the future.
Definitely. And even kind of like branching off that idea, something that I think now that I've had these few different experiences between a product team and a marketing team, it's kind of tailored my perspective that once I come out of college, I won't necessarily want to stick to one thing. I might want to dabble in, you know, do a little bit more development, do a little bit more time and support. And then that way, if I wanted to become, and this could be used for anybody, to become a project manager, you're the best project manager at that sense because you've had experience across all different realms and you're able to, you know, really talk to the process of what support's going to see, how the customers are going to see it from marketing, and how something can actually be produced from a product standpoint.
It just helps with your team. So like, you know, I've had project managers that are so out of touch to be like, do you know even what you're asking for? Versus someone that's like, oh no, you've gone through, you've had this experience. And so I appreciate your knowledge and that thoughtfulness and everything. So that just well-rounded managerial skills as well.
Exactly. That's the idea.
Be customer support and you can do anything. You'll learn so much with customer support, right? Yep. You really learn the inside and out of the product or something. Speaking of the product, which do you like better, product or marketing?
I think it's like choosing
your favorite child, right?
Yeah. It's really hard. Like, I really can't even say. I think I like aspects of each different. Like with product, you work more in a sprint-based cycle. You know, you have your 2 weeks set of what your main goals are. Obviously, you have your overall projects of what you want to get done for, say, a 2.7 release or whatever. But you kind of have this structure of what you're doing and checking in, and you have, you know, you're known. Whereas with marketing, the creativity really flows. And especially comparing that, I was on QA, I was getting, you know, the end of what was done. I loved QA, but your creativity, you can't affect the product rather than making sure that issues aren't included. So with marketing, I think it gives you a good outlook of, you know, adding your spin to what is proposed of the product and of the company. So I think they have their greatness in their own aspects for sure. It's hard to pick a favorite.
So you were doing actuarial sciences, and that's like kind of a special, you know, kind of a specialized thing. But then you're talking about possibly working in software. So where do you see, you know, what is your interest? Where do you want to go? You don't have to decide right now on this podcast, because you can change your mind and things will change, and you could have your best laid plans and some opportunity comes up and like, you know, I'm just going to travel through Southeast Asia for a while. But
yeah, no, I mean, honestly, that would be ideal. That I have even talked about, like, once I'm done with school, I want to be able to take some time and travel and just work. And I'm very thankful now to have a remote opportunity, so I can, you know, travel as it works with schedules and whatnot. But I think the goal would probably be, even if it's not software, but some sort of project management in a tech-verse field would be my end goal. Yes, I have the actuarial, which is kind of focused, but really I wanted to be able to get a math degree to show the aptitude of what I can do. And I was interested in finance when I'd first started, but as we know, things change and I might not really want to work for an insurance company down the line, you know, just putting that in. But so I don't know if that's necessarily what I'll end up doing, but just using the math degree and then hopefully going to some sort of project management role for some sort of thing that includes product development, tech, you know, using these tools that I've built up over the last few years.
I will say that I've loved software, and my first job out of college was for a software company. And I just felt like I was on the cutting edge. Like it was so wonderful to be in software, and you just learn so much, and the tech is coming at you hard and fast, and it's exciting. It's certainly a lot more exciting than finance, I think. So I'm glad that your parents have influenced you enough to drive you towards software and products. Absolutely. And it's fun.
And you're young, like, you don't have to make these decisions today. My son's a freshman in college, and I'm always telling him it's okay to change your mind. You know, what you chose at 18 doesn't have to be what you do forever, says the person with a teaching degree who does not teach. So, yeah, you've got time and it's okay to change your mind. And like we talked about earlier, those skills can be transferable, even if you're not working in the directly related to what you have your degree in.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So we'll take it in stride, but I agree. And especially like being at this software company now and coming out of college, the one thing that I've been saying a lot is just we're continuously learning. And that just once you kind of grab onto that aspect, being in tech and software, that you're going to be continuously learning and evolving what you're doing because new things are coming. That makes your job almost a little bit easier because you know it's a part of it. And I'm used to that grind because I've been in school, you know, for my whole career so far. So I'm used to continuously learning, and I'm happy, and I feel biased that this is my first experience, you know, first real experience of what I've been exposed to. So I'm happy to start here.
I'm always suspicious of anyone that says that they are an expert in technology. So I'm like, are you though?
Yeah, like, there are some dudes I know that call themselves technologists. And I'm like, I don't even know what that is. I don't know what that means.
They are technology. Maybe they're robots.
Exactly. Are they AI?
I would love to hear more about what you've been doing at Gravity Forms. Now, I am a Gravity girl. I put it in every single site I make. Oh, I mean, if looked at my licenses, there would be hundreds. I have it on hundreds. I'm like, and I've got in on that lifetime license early on. Not lifetime. I think I pay annually, but you know, it's a better price than people can get now, I'm pretty sure. So what has been, you know, what have you been doing? What do you like to do the most? And I mean, I know you've worked in these different areas, but do you have any secrets to share?
Well, I mean, I'm sure, I feel like it's probably, I mean, I don't know if it's apparent or not, but one thing that I will say, I had worked a previous internship at a staffing company. So I had some experience of what work life was like. And I will say that the community and the vibe at Gravity Forms is completely unmatched. Like they really do truly care about their employees and their team and their, you know, their atmosphere, the whole, you know, all of our CDs, certified developers and everybody included. It really is more of a family rather than just the product and the business. You know, they care about your well-being and how this is getting done and making sure that we're pushing out quality rather than quantity for situations. So that's been really cool to see. And especially on the product team, seeing that firsthand and how their system was for that. So my experience on the product team was really focused in QA. So just kind of the tail ends of doing any PRs, pull requests from GitHub as stuff came through and smoke testing. And then for marketing, I've been focused really on some social media, but mostly their TikTok channel. So if you go to @GravityForms on TikTok, you will see me. But also just a bunch of little, we call them personality posts or a few how-tos, just quickly explaining the Gravity Forms, just different tools that you can use or different features or add-ons that you can include. But trying to branch into this new environment and, you know, grab onto the younger generation as well, and to just grow our reach. But yeah, that's kind of what my focus has been. I also had published the first how to prepare for a Gravity Forms internship. But yes, I created the first one and I will be putting out two more blog posts, which really tie up what my experience like was on the product team, what we used tool wise, what our interaction style was, what the sprint style really was like. And then I'll also do a walkthrough of what it was like on marketing. And then that way, if anybody is interested or we want potential interns, they would really have an idea as to what they'd be looking at for a potential internship.
Yeah, I didn't know they even had a TikTok. I have seen, so like, you would think by now that I would see more WordPress TikToks, and I don't. Like, I've seen some that Tracy's made and Sarah Dunn's doing them now for SEO, but I've seen very few, so I'm very excited about this. And I've just hit follow because I spend way too much time on TikTok. But I happen to see one of the TikToks is on automation, which is kind of a hobby of mine. I love automation. Tell me more about what your experiences are with Gravity Forms and automation.
So some experience that we have, the best thing that I could note really would be the add-on or the additional tool of Gravity Flow. And that is the ultimate automation workflow solution, I feel like. And that's really all that my exposure has been with automation. I feel like it's a tool that every business should use, especially being in the techverse. There's so much that you can hand off and, you know, let the computer or let the system do for you rather than, you know, not that you want to keep your employees low, but if you have a limited budget, that way you don't have to exert maybe for an assistant. Automation could be your internal assistant for a bunch of different, if you're making PDFs such as like business reports, memos, contract documents, all of those tedious legality things you can do through automation, which I think helps the brain and helps a business owner just take off some of those tasks that you really might not want to be bogged down with if you're more on the creative product end of what you're doing.
Interesting. I've never used Gravity Flow. I use Zapier for the majority of my automation, but it's all connected with Gravity Forms. Everything, I feel like all of my automations start with Gravity Forms and end somewhere else. But now I'm going to have to look into Gravity Flow.
Yeah, Gravity Flow is truly magical. And that is something I think we talked in a very, very early podcast.
I think I remember that.
Yes, with let me pull up her name here really quick. I'm kind of bad with names when they are distant. It was with Felicia Ceballos Marquin.
Yes.
Who was kind of the Gravity Forms wizard of our podcast so far. You should listen to that episode. Mm-hmm. I will send you a link, Isabel. Because you'll love it. Because so she was kind of did this insane amount of automation. And I'm pretty sure that she used Gravity Flow and just kind of, she could just automate the whole world, basically. It is episode number 4. So wow. it was early on.
Yeah, That's a good memory.
Yes. Well, I was so impressed with what she did with Gravity Forms and her talking about Gravity Flow and how Gravity Flow works and stuff. And it's magic.
That was pre-COVID. So, like everything is pre-COVID, post-COVID.
Yeah. When we were all just like in, honestly. I'm seeing a screenshot of our video and we're just all kind of like shiny and... Right. And now we're just kind
young
of
and naive.
Truly.
Well, we're actually just thinking about this. So when I originally started naming like the folders or the files that I was editing, I put 3 digits almost as a like, we're going to be in 3 digits soon. Number of episodes.
Yeah, I think this will be episode 91, maybe.
Yeah, so we're getting really close.
Wow. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, this is going to be, Isabel, you'll be number 91.
Well, there we go. I'll take it.
That's
awesome, you guys. That's a big accomplishment in itself. So
yeah, and just having, you know, you might be, I'll have to think back, you might be our first second generation WordPresser. You know, we've had young women on the show, but it's not like their parents were into WordPress. And the only other two were in our short interviews at WordCamp US.
At WordCamp US, yeah.
Yeah. So we had Sophia DeRosio and David Bassett's daughter. And I always just remember her by her awesome Twitter handle, Lemonade Code. But, you know, in terms of that, you know, and they were very, at the time, gosh, they might be older now because that seems like it was a while ago now.
How does time work? I don't understand.
How does time work? It moves forward, but slowly.
Except when you have a client that pays net 45, those days go so slow. Everything else, I have no idea. We're in November.
November.
When did that happen? Already.
Yeah, why is Thanksgiving like
what?
Right?
2 weeks away.
I noticed that you created a physics calculator app.
Yes, I did. So that was in 2018. I had just finished my first year of college and my dad had moved to California. So I knew I wasn't really going to get a job because I'd be doing some traveling during the time during that summer break. So we brainstormed and we figured, let's do something that's like a good project that I can just follow along myself. So I followed along on iTunes U. It was a Stanford iOS course, how to build your own app. I believe it was like iOS 13, maybe, like it was a little ways back. But I followed along this course. It had all of the additional code that you needed, examples, all the PDFs in addition to videos. So it was like you were taking the class. I had completed it, and this was about July point in the summer. And I said, you know, let me see if I can create my own app, just like, you know, like a little resume builder, see if I can do it myself. And I did. So I created this physics calculator. The idea came from the fact that I had just finished my first year of school and I struggled massively with physics. It was, although I understand the mathematics, there was some sort of disconnect with internalizing the formulas. So I figured if there was a tool that I wish I would have had, this is what it would have been. So with the physics calculator, you can complete any equations that you'd see from physics 1, physics 2 at NJIT, but globally, that's like kinematics, electromagnetism, and some quantum topics. But basically, if you have a majority of the formulas or majority of the variables, excuse me, so like 2 of the 3 or 3 of the 4, you'll be able to complete your formula and your equation and solve accordingly. So, yeah, that was just kind of just a summer project to
just
see if I could
do it. You know, that's amazing.
Thank you. Some kids go to Disney, some kids, you know, get a job at Subway, and Isabel creates a physics app, you know,
because why not?
Why not? It'll be in the show notes, by the way.
Yes. For all your physics needs. Be sure to check out
Knowledge in Nature. But yeah, so it was really cool. And it was just another ode of like, if you want to, you can. And there's so many resources out there to just like look for it and dedicate your, I won't lie. Like I worked during the summer. It took me from then July and I published it. I believe it was the first week of October. So it took me some time, but I was able, you know, put my heart into it and we got a nice little project.
And do you sell it or is it free?
It's free. It's free. Okay. Just for use.
I've got it open right now on the App Store. On Knowledge of Nature. You have to be 4 years old to use this.
You know, I mean,
with calculator.
We're multitaskers.
It does have 5-star rating.
I love it.
Ooh.
It's got a 5-star rating. So I think that it's, you know, for your physics needs. There you go.
Yeah, check
super
it out.
Impressive.
Thanks, guys.
No need to worry about simple calculations when using Knowledge of Nature. This physics application solves equations for one-dimensional motion, energies, and fluids all the way through circuits and resistance. Let Knowledge of Nature help you quickly get the results to Physics 1 and Physics 2 equations.
That's awesome. Like, I'm sold. Yeah. Like, yeah.
You guys are the best. Thank you.
I mean, you know, you could have been working at Subway, but whatever.
not to a local pizzeria works at Subway because those, yeah, but yeah, that's pretty impressive.
Sandwich artists are important as well.
I agree. Exactly. I'm right now. So even just like the whole idea of developing for an app, you know, I started with HTML and CSS. I feel very, very confident in that. And I'm like, all right, this should be easy. No, that doesn't translate. I spent hours trying to get the font, the typeface of a button change in this app. And it turns out in React Native, the button component doesn't support typeface and fonts. It only supports background color and color, but I couldn't find that anywhere.
Yes, tell us, Isabel, how did you,
right?
What did you build your app in? Like, how did you even have that? It's one thing to come up with the logic behind everything you're trying to do in the app. The other thing to actually program the app. So how did you approach that?
Yes. So thankfully with the course, they had done the walkthrough. So I had set up Xcode and I was using Swift. So it was just kind of using that system. And I remember when I was going through creating it, they have this storyboard in Xcode. And so it's kind of a blend between your code, but also visual elements. So you can visually adjust maybe your buttons and round them out like dimensionally, and then it will save the code from there, and then you can connect back the storyboards. So it was almost a cheat sheet in the system of, you know, fine-tuning those designs without having to explicitly know deep level design code. It was taken out in the process of using my Xcode developer, so that's how I got through with it.
I don't even understand half of what you just said. I'm sorry. My 46-year-old brain does not process
that. I'm going to rephrase that. I'm going to say there was a visual builder kind of element to that where you could kind of in a way flowchart it in some way.
Exactly. So you would have, it's if you envision like a storyboard for like a commercial or an ad where you have kind of the pictures of this screen will look like this, and you can draw out a square with your computer, or like you can drag and put in a square, and then from there you'll have your item and you can go over to the adjustments and round the corners if you want this to be more of a rounded input versus a actual square that you displayed. But from there, it really is just so you'll have envision if you have like an iPhone screen. So it will have the first screen present, and then it will have a little arrow which connects. If you press this button, this is what it will look like, rather than coding in when X is pressed, transfer over to B or whatever it may be. So it visually walks you through how you can do it. And it was a feature within Xcode that I had found from the class.
How cool. And which class was this again?
On iTunes iTunes University. And let me see.
Okay.
Pull the different class here.
Yeah, we'll put this in the show notes for anyone who wants to build their own physics app. Yes. Over the summer or winter break.
Oh, I don't have it saved, but I know it was from Stanford University on iTunes U, how to build an iOS app. It simply was like the title of it.
Yeah, cool. I've taken a look at they released a whole bunch of courses for free, and yeah, that's really cool. I have not yet met someone that has actually sat down and learned something and used that, which so that's really impressive. So that's really good. I love that really worked well.
They even have a podcast, Developing Apps for iOS.
Didn't listen to the podcast, but I'm sure it wouldn't hurt, honestly, if you're intrigued.
And they're kind of older. They're from 2010, so I don't know how applicable it would be now, but
I just recently found a website that's like gives you like Swift, React Native for designers. And it's a really, really cool tutorial website, which I have started because I'm like, all right, I guess I need to know some of the basics of this. Like, what does this word even mean? And it does break it down pretty well. So there's a lot of these, and I think it's like design code.io or something, design plus code. So, and that one has again a bunch of like video clips and everything, which, and they have a Swift UI one, and so those probably, and those seem to be pretty up to date. So to, if you want to like make your next app, and
even what you were just saying, because you said that they include some React content as well. That mm-hmm. would be awesome to, yeah, I definitely will check that out, because I know even what we're doing on the Gravity products team, a lot of our upcoming design is through React and kind of implementing that more React style. So definitely would be good to learn.
That's awesome. And I actually, one thing, like, how did you even find out that they're get connected to the internship that you're in?
More through personal, just networking of knowing members of the company first, and just kind of putting out there that I was looking for an internship and to see if it would be applicable. And it was.
And it's funny, because I wouldn't even have thought to, like, you know, like ask around for an internship. So like, that's kind of cool. But yeah, that makes perfect sense, especially if you get to WordCamps and you see people at the booths and stuff, striking up that conversation if you want to get into that field. Hey, do you offer internships? How do I get into this? Genius.
Yeah, and what I found, the older I get, the more important having those connections and networking really is. And, you know, so much of, I think, my business and my, you know, knowing people in WordPress is through connections and not just luck or happenstance. I think it, everything in like the whole, like everywhere I go in the community, it's, or, you know, just in my local town, networking plays such a huge role in life. And I think it took me a long time to realize, I thought, oh, you know, you just work hard and you'll, you know, get everything you want. But knowing people and having relationships is important.
Definitely. Definitely. And I think it's this community is a great one where I feel like once you're in, you're able to just meet so many different people, and you're exposed to so many different work styles and potential projects that, like, this community is overturning or a great facilitator for new opportunities amongst everybody.
I agree.
To participate.
This is how I have sustained running my own company.
This is how Tracy's working a million hours a week right now.
A million hours a week. Something like that. give or take one or two.
Not to be mathematically precise about it.
No. I mean, we're not physicists here. So,
no. Not questioning.
Well, it has been so delightful talking to you today. Before we go, can you tell everybody where they can find you online?
Oh, yes. So you can find me, find us on Gravity Forms on TikTok at Gravity Forms. And then on Instagram, I am Izzy_Doran. So ISSY_DORAN. And Izzy7216 on Twitter. 7216, yeah. Make sure I said that correctly. But yeah, that's where you can find me.
Awesome.
Or Isabel Doran on anywhere else. But yeah.
Well, thanks for being on today.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me, you guys. It's been great.
Thank you for listening. Interested in being on the show? Sign up on our website, womeninwp.com. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram, and join our Facebook group to have conversations with other women in WordPress.